بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يعذب من يشاء ويرحم من يشاء وإليه تقلبون. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders and friends, if there is one word that can sum up the social decay of our society, it is surely the absence of barakah. And it is the presence of ever greed and desire to accumulate and amass more. Barakah in every form has become absent from our lives. When we look back to the glory days, it wasn't abundance of provisions, it was minimum output from minimum provisions. Maximum output from minimum provisions. And that is the definition of barakah. Al-manafi'u al-kathira bi-asbab al-qaleela. Where Allah gives you wholesome, great benefits, manifold, out of little provisions. You're not necessarily doing the common multiplication of 10 becoming 100 and 100 becoming 1,000 and 1 evolving to 2 and 2 to 10. It's minimum, it's simple, but it's wholesome, it's meaningful. Family structures were meaningful. There was quality, there was value in it. The verse that I recited is a verse of the 20th juz in Surah An-Kabut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَرْحَمُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Surely Allah reserves the rights, the authority, the prerogative of punishing, inflicting, or pitying and having mercy on anyone. This verse is explored by the commentators of tafsir with a host of commentaries. The more common known commentary would be, Allah punishes a person by deviation, pities a person by guidance. But amongst the many tafsir that exist, there is also a view, يُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِالْحِرْسِ وَيَرْحَمُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِالْقَنَاعَةِ. That Allah punishes and inflicts upon a person a torment by filling his heart with greed. So this is a divine torment from Allah. In the Quran, Allah speaks about the munafiq. Allah says, فَلَا تُعْجِبَكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Do not be impressed or obsessed or intrigued by their apparent growth and expansion. This is nothing more than a ploy from the Almighty to keep them so engrossed and occupied that it's no less a affliction and a torment upon them. يُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah punishes whomsoever He wishes by filling the heart of that individual with greed. وَيَرْحَمُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And Allah pities an individual by filling his bosom with divine contentment. فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ. A verse of the 10 juz, when the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in the cave and Abu Bakr was with him, and the enemies came to the mouth of the cave to the extent that Abu Bakr said, O Nabi of Allah, I can see their footsteps. Can you imagine anxiety, panic, phobia, uneasiness, restlessness? They want to attack you. There is 100 camels out for your head. They want to ambush you. And they have come that close. Any person, even if he wants to keep it a secret, he's going to spell it out. He's going to leak it out. At some point, he's going to divulge it. What did the Quran say? فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ. Allah sent tranquility. And as soon as that tranquility came, Abu Bakr and the Prophet of Allah ﷺ was calm. They were composed. They were calculated. It's not like the pious don't get diagnosed and only the sinful get diagnosed. It's just that how the different people deal with the situation. If this is what Allah has ordained, if this is what Allah has decreed, then so be it. Allah gives that contentment in the heart. يُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَرْحَمُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُقْلَبُونَ. Imam Bukhari makes mention of an amazing incident where he speaks about the wholesome barakah that are part of the perks of the obedience of Allah. So that's not the pinnacle, that's not the motivation, that's not the essence of a believer. His essence is to obey Allah, but part of the package is he'll be a happy man, he'll be a contented man, there'll be meaning in his wealth, there'll be joy in his relation, there'll be bliss in his house. And he highlights the amazing incident of Zubair ibn al-Awam radiyallahu anhu and his son. It's a very amazing incident. Babu barakatil ghazi fi malihi hayyan wa mayyita. The barakah that Allah gives to a man who strives in his path, who obeys him, his wealth only don't bring goodness while he's alive, but even post his demise and his death. And we learn from the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when a person does what Allah told him to do, then Allah exempts him from the happenings of the world. Sometimes there might be a drought or a famine that might plague a country. There is a hadith in the authentic narrations where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Baynama rajulun yamshi," a man was walking, suddenly he heard a voice coming out from the cloud. And what does the cloud say? "Isqi hadiqata fulan," that rain water on a particular garden and on a particular plantation and vegetation. So this person was like, am I hearing right? Where are these sounds coming? He was intrigued, he was curious, he followed. And as he followed, he seen the water coming direct to a specific location. Everywhere else was dry, there was no trace of rain. And the water specifically came in this garden and this orchard and this plantation. It just took his curiosity to another level after he seen this man taking the water and hosting his garden and enjoying that exclusive shower from the cloud. He said, "Brother, if I'm not too inquisitive, can I ask you how do you enjoy this?" He said, "I have made this vow with Allah that whenever I harvest my crops, in addition to the revenue it brings, I also give a portion to the poor. Allah has taken the responsibility that I've never been without rain. I've never been without rain." So this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we lack that barakah. There's no meaning. Somebody said, you know, there's an app, you get this app and you get that app. There's also one app when somebody is in front of you, and that is called respect. And that is to shut the phone and address the man in front of you. There is nothing like that. We've lost barakah in our times, in our dealings, in our communication. Ta'amul ithnain yakfi thalatha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the food of two will suffice for three. Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, our food is running short. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who's cooking? Who's your chef? Which day? La'allakum taftariqoon. I think you're eating individually. I think you're eating individually. Eat together. Eat as a whole. Eat as a family. Look at the consciousness of Sahaba when they used to have social gatherings. Then the blind Sahabi would find it difficult to eat, because he says that I'm not sighted, I might consume more than my allotted share. The other Sahabi's precaution was so much that he is blind, he'll be eating less. The crippled Sahabi said, no, I don't want to eat in a joint gathering because I'll occupy the seat of two. The other Sahabi said, no, he's crippled, he'll arrive late. You cannot imagine the internal level of consciousness. Allah said, there's no need to go to that stringent measures. لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجْ وَلَا عَلَى الْأَعْرَجِ حَرَجْ وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرِيضِ حَرَجْ. If we say he's blind, all the better, we put away. You give him one thing, he say, no, we got no variety, brother, you eat this here, we're all eating the same. These are the kind of things we would do, be it as it may. Here's the incident of barakah that Allah gives, wholesome, maximum. Abdullah ibn Ja'far radiallahu anhu says, it was the eve of the Battle of Jamal, my dad called me up. My dad called me up, he summoned me, he says, boy, I need to talk to you. كُنْتُ وَاقِفًا يَوْمَ الْجَبَلِ فَدَعَانِ الزُّبَيْرِ. He said, لَا يُقْتَلْ الْيَوْمِ إِلَّا ظَالِمٌ أَوْ مَظْلُومٌ وَإِنِّي لَا أُرَانِي إِلَّا سَأُقْتَلْ الْيَوْمَ مَظْلُومٌ. I hate revealing this to you, but I doubt I will see the sun set. It's the eve of the battle and I need to talk to you, I need to offload on you. I've got liabilities, I've got assets, I've got a lot to deal with. And I'm making you the executive of my estate. Now when you talk of mental maturity, when you talk of composure, when you talk that youth were in such a level of leadership that a father could call his son on the eve of a battle and in 5 minutes pour his heart out with his fears and concerns, apprehensions and visions, and sigh with relief that this son will take care of it and it's done. Your father is speaking to his children for decades, for years. Listen, after I'm gone, I want this here. Listen, after I'm gone, I want this. But at the back of his mind, it haunts him. I don't know what's going to happen after I'm gone. That were the glory days when there was barakah in time. There was meaning in union. There was meaning in relation. My dad called me and he said, I won't see the sun setting. وَإِنَّ مِنْ أَكْبَرِ هَمِّي لَدَيْنِي. And the thing that haunts me the most are my liabilities and my debts. The thing that haunts me the most. Imagine the man making the supreme sacrifice and presenting himself in the court of Allah. Yet the thing that haunts him and leaves him uneasy and gives him insomnia is I'm owing people money. And today we can owe people in the millions and we can say, we can greet the man with a broad smile and don't have a sense of guilt. There's nothing worse than when your inner self dies a death. That you can commit a wrong, owe a man money, and just feel nothing about it. وَإِنَّ مِنْ أَكْبَرِ هَمِّي لَدَيْنِي أَفَتَرَى دَيْنَنَا يُبْقِي مِنْ مَالِنَا شَيْئًا بِعْمَا لَنَا وَقْضِ دَيْنِي. Oh my son, after I pass away, you wrap up my body, attend to the rituals of burial, and then you need to start dissolving my assets and clearing my debts. وَأَوْصَى بِالثُّلُثِ. And I want to bequeath a third of my estate. Again, fundamental, basic, elementary knowledge of how we wind up our estate is unknown to us. Just as people have this notion, and I don't know how many times I had to contend with this, the false notion and the myth that you have to dissolve a union through 3 talaqs. This has no basis. You can pronounce 1 talaq, and we're not condoning or promoting or advocating it, but we're saying if it comes to that and you have to dissolve, then 1 would suffice. People have the notion, I have to give 3 talaqs. People have the perception and the notion that I can bequeath my entire estate. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَيُّكُمْ مَالُهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ مَالِ وَارِثِهِ. Which one of you loves your money more than your heir's wealth? O Nabi of Allah, that's a given. I doubt there's anybody. I like my money. Why must I love my inheritors and my heir's money? He said, what you've invested with Allah belongs to you, and what is in your pocket belongs to your heirs and inheritors. Hence he said, 1 dirham while you're active and hale and healthy is far better than 1,000 when the soul has reached your collarbone and you're saying, you know what, can I reach out to this man and reach out to that charity organization? Whether you distribute it or not, Allah has distributed it. أَبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبَنَاؤُكُمْ لَا تَدَرُونَ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ لَكُمْ نَفْعًا. Allah said, if I had to hand over the distribution of your estate, you would have based it on the person who benefited you the most. He was good to me in my life. He assisted me. He ditched me. He launched me. And Allah didn't base it on that. Allah said, I based it on your relation, on your blood, on your next of kin. They enjoy the greatest relation. However, if you have a choice and a desire that you want to bequeath, then the Sharia gives you recognition of 1/3. 2/3 of your wealth don't belong to you. It doesn't belong to you. That is the time. Now you've got to discharge of it. Be it as it may, dissolve my assets and clear my liabilities. وَأَوْصَى بِالثُّلُثِ. Every revelation is an explosion. But look at the capacity and the maturity of this boy that is digesting it. He's taking it in everything. Okay, Dad, talk to me. I'm hearing you. I'm getting you. And he's moving and he knows we're not going to meet again. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Mina, he said, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. It was only Sahaba who could bear this. Learn from me the actions of Hajj and the rituals of Hajj. Myself and you won't be performing Hajj again.